الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا الصلاة حيا الصلاة حيا الصلاة الصلاة خير من النوم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين آمين. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, my dear, beautiful brothers and sisters, and once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother Abdul Mubarak here, Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help the believers get off to a good start each morning during the blessed month of Ramadan. Let me thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule to join us today. And we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speaker to aid us all in our growth and development. We were blessed to hear from our beloved brother and friend, Imam Abdul Salam Muhammad, yesterday, who started his talk asking the question, what is this month of Ramadan about? He spoke on the words of the Quran wherein Allah said, the month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran is revealed. And he asked us to remember that in this verse, Allah says he desires for us ease, not hardship. Our brother said, this is not a month of burden or anxiety, but this is a month in which we gain closeness or nearness to Allah. He said that this is the month of mercy and this is the month of forgiveness. This is the month of salvation from temptation and the passion of sin. Our brother said that this is the month of peace. This is the month of security. This is the month of the Quran. The month of patience, the month of kindness and acts or sincere acts of doing good deeds. This is the month of self-restraint. He said, this is the month of the believers. And he encouraged us, don't fret, don't worry. Let us put our minds and hearts on Allah and ask him to strengthen us with each day of the blessed fast of Ramadan. We thank our brother Abdul Salam Muhammad for his encouraging words with us yesterday. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today. And to carry us further into our program, this morning will be our sister Dr. Nisa Islam Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Yes, sir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to part two of We Know Occupation. During this historical segment, I will focus on Blacks and Palestine. I previously spoke about the support Blacks had for Israel and how that support was dismantled by the Nation of Islam. Historian Dr. Garrett Felber determined that an anti-Zionist consensus was deep in the overall temple where the early Muslims worshiped messaging. He came to this conclusion by reading sociologist C. Eric Lincoln's handwritten notes for his dissertation on the Nation of Islam. Those notes revealed that Egyptian attachés to the United Nations worked closely with Malcolm X on long-term projects and welcomed a group of dark-skinned Arab activists frequently in touch with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Chicago. Around the world, Black voices are shouting loud and clear for a ceasefire as the worst form of genocide is witnessed. Those cries reflect an historical connection between Blacks and Palestinians. That stance of support was reflected in the Muhammad Speaks newspaper that covered news and other issues from Zionist influence over U.S. government officials to the ongoing Palestinian refugee crisis in the early 1960s and the Afro-Asian People's Solidarity delegations to Gaza. The nation's concentrated emphasis on the Arab world, specifically Palestine, was significant because it introduced progressive ideological thought to a far broader audience than just its members. In the early 1960s, Muhammad Speaks was one of the most widely distributed Black newspapers in America. By the 1970s, weekly circulation ranged from 650,000 to 950,000, almost a million copies each week. The impact of its reporting influenced future generations of Black activists who advocated for the liberation of Palestine. Malcolm X consistently expressed support for Palestine by stating that the Zionist rationale used to legitimize Israel's occupation lacked both intelligent and legal historical grounding. In addition to speaking in support of Palestine, Malcolm X also traveled several times to Palestine. On his last trip in 1964, he visited the Gaza Strip, met with Palestinians, toured refugee camps and hospitals. This encounter motivated him to write a letter to the Egyptian Gazette entitled On Zionist Logic. He professed his staunch support for the Palestinian struggle and equated Zionism with colonialism. He urged African leaders to support the Palestinian quest for freedom. Malcolm X linked Black internationalism with the Palestinian cause, and this created a legacy of solidarity that would influence Black Palestinian revolutionaries to come. In 1967, the Israeli army invaded Jerusalem for the start of the Six-Day War. This triggered even more support by Blacks for the Palestinian cause. Those who embraced a Black radical tradition and supported the Palestinian struggle recognized it was more than just a moral reaction to a particular historical wrongdoing. They saw it as a comprehensive understanding of imperialism, colonialism, and white supremacy that also reflected the experiences of Black Americans. Many saw Palestine as a central focus of U.S. imperial activities in the Middle East. 1967 is also the year the Non-Student Violent Coordinating Committee, known as SNCC, under the leadership of Kwame Ture, then known as Stokely Carmichael, published a newsletter entitled Third World Roundup, The Palestinian Problem, Test Your Knowledge. Ture, a Black power activist and chair of SNCC, acknowledged Muhammad Speaks as his initial source of information on Palestine. He stated it was not until the early 1960s when he read about Palestinian rights and resistance in the pages of Muhammad Speaks that he became aware of the issue. This statement predates any acknowledgement by the American left of the injustices inflicted upon the Palestinians. More next time. Our speaker this morning is high schooler Rihanna Blackman. Her father is the editor of Anadolu Agency, a trusted source for news in Turkey. Welcome, Rihanna.
Assalamu alaikum. A six-year-old girl was trapped in a car surrounded by the bodies of her relatives in the Gaza Strip as she waited for an ambulance crew to rescue her. Hind Rajab was trapped with six relatives, including her 15-year-old cousin, Layan. All were killed. Her mother said Hind waited for 3 hours on the phone, pleading for help that did not come because of the intensity of a firefight between the Israel Army and Palestinian resistance groups. The family was trying to relocate to a safe zone that Israel designated. For many children in Gaza, displacement has become a harsh reality. Forced to flee their homes, they seek refuge in overcrowded shelters where access to basic necessities is limited. The Israeli onslaught against Gaza has left horrifying stories of civilian suffering, especially among children who have been deprived of their innocence by airstrikes and bombs, only to find themselves engulfed in a firestorm of death. The war has turned the coastal enclave into a graveyard for children. 15 children have died from malnutrition and dehydration at the Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza in recent days. The overall number is undoubtedly much higher. The UN has been sounding the alarm that 10,000 children are at risk of starvation in the Palestinian territory. Humanitarian aid and access to it can and will reduce those numbers, but Israel continues to block the desperately needed supplies. The words of Israeli officials undoubtedly decipher their true intentions to force Palestinians from their land for a second time after the first Nakba, or catastrophe, in 1948, when at least 750,000 Palestinians were displaced to make way for the State of Israel. Israeli President Isaac Herzog said at the beginning of the current offensive that Gazans were, quote, responsible for Hamas's surprise attack. He said, quote, "It is not true, this rhetoric about civilians not being aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. They could have risen up. They could have fought against that evil regime which took over Gaza in a coup d'etat." For the record, Hamas was elected by the Gazan population in legislative elections in 2006. Former Deputy Foreign Minister Danny Ayalon told brother Mark Lamont Hill that Gazans should go to the Sinai Desert in Egypt. Ayalon said, quote, "This is thought out. It's not something we tell them, go to the beaches, go drown yourselves, God forbid, not at all." He suggested that the move would be temporary, but Palestinians displaced during the first Nakba have never been able to return. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant ordered a full siege on Gaza, where almost half the population is children. He said, quote, "There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals, and we act accordingly." He blatantly signaled that Tel Aviv would commit crimes against international law. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel must maintain, quote, "overall military responsibility in Gaza for the foreseeable future." Once we defeat Hamas, we have to make sure that there is no new Hamas, no resurgence of terrorism, and right now the only force that is able to secure that is Israel, he said. The UN has warned that child deaths will rapidly increase in Gaza if humanitarian aid deliveries do not immediately increase. A mother whose daughter died of malnutrition told a Palestinian journalist, "With an accepting heart, all I can do is pray to God." But as mothers pray, Adele Kuder, regional director for the UN's Children's Aid Organization, said numerous reported child deaths in Gaza are, quote, "man-made, predictable, and entirely preventable." 16% of children showed signs of malnutrition in a study in January, she said. Two-month-old Mahmoud Fatou recently starved to death next door to one of the richest countries in the world. "We saw a woman carrying her baby, screaming for help. Her pale baby seemed to be taking his last breath. We rushed him to the hospital and he was found to be suffering acute malnutrition. Medical staff rushed him to the ICU. The baby has not been fed any milk for days, as baby milk is totally absent in Gaza," a paramedic who rushed him to the hospital told Al Jazeera. The UN said 2.3 million people in Gaza are now on the brink of famine. Israel, which cut off all supplies of food, water, and fuel to Gaza at the start of the war, opened one entry point for humanitarian aid in December. But aid agencies have said strict checks by Israel and protests by far-right demonstrators at the Karim Abdul Salim crossing have hampered the entry of food trucks. The situation is desperate in northern Gaza, which has been almost completely cut off from aid since October. And like the mother who witnessed her daughter die in December from malnutrition, a father recalled watching his four-year-old daughter being killed, this time by Israeli gunfire. Hussein Jabir, who works as a photographer for the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, told Al Jazeera that his family had been sheltering in a building for 4 days with friends. Jabir had been staying elsewhere for work until he drove to get them out. "I saw Salma get hit in the neck before my eyes. She was writhing with pain, but kept running somehow. I ran to her to embrace her and carry her to the car, while my wife and children, Omar and Sarah, kept running," he said. Salma was killed, while Sarah, her nine-year-old sister, miraculously survived death when a bullet penetrated her jacket. It went in one side and out the other. Millimeters separated her from death. "My three-year-old son, Omar, still asks me where Salma is. He doesn't understand how she could have been with him walking down the road, and now she's just gone," he said. Salma would have turned 6 on February 4th. But death is not the only danger facing children in Gaza. The army arrested Karam Majid Ghafri, 13, when it stormed the town of Sinjil in northern Ramallah, according to a witness who said soldiers stormed the town using gas and sound grenades, which frightened the child who then fled. Karam was arrested for throwing stones at soldiers. According to prisoner affair groups, at least 200 children have been detained by Israel out of 9,000 Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons since February. But there is a bright spot, literally, in a tent city in Rafah in southern Gaza, a city that has seen an increase in population to 1.5 million residents since the start of the onslaught from 275,000. Nicknamed Gaza's Newton, 15-year-old Hussam al-Attar has brought light into displacement shelter after he and his family fled the ongoing Israeli offensive on the enclave. He said after being displaced for 20 days and having the electricity cut with no available source of energy to illuminate the camp, he thought of creating a windmill to light the darkness. He failed on 2 attempts, but on his 3rd, he found success. He said the markets lack the batteries to develop his project, but he said he will continue even if the operating period is limited to times with strong winds. Al-Attar said he invented an underwater light and a safety zipper for a wireless door closure, in addition to a fan to cool the summer atmosphere. The plight of children in Gaza is a stark reminder of the need for lasting peace and humanitarian intervention in the region. The innocent lives lost to the horrors of the Israeli onslaught demand immediate attention from the international community and a revamping of the UN Security Council, where the U.S. has vetoed resolutions that have demanded a ceasefire. Israel is accused of genocide at the International Court of Justice. An interim ruling by the UN court in January ordered Tel Aviv to stop genocidal acts and take measures to guarantee that humanitarian assistance is provided to civilians in Gaza. Israel has all but ignored the order. As the world watches in horror, the predicament of children in Gaza demands the attention and action of world leaders. The people in Gaza do not want platitudes. They need action and need it now to stop the onslaught. The voices of children who were silenced by the sound of bombs and gunfire deserve a chance to grow up in peace and security. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my sister. Thank you for your sobering words with us this morning, Sister Rihanna Blackman. All praises are due to Allah. Thank you for your report on Gaza. Man. We will have now, brothers and sisters, our Umar report. And it will be with our 15-year-old Palestinian brother, MC Abdul. Brother Abdul.
I'm exhausted. Last night I couldn't sleep, but when I did, I could hear bombs in my dreams. Nightmare situation. How could they be so evil, making mortars out of children and innocent people? We expect the bomb stop, knowing where next. Huddle in the corner of my room, trying to protect my little brother. As the building shakes like it's possessed, but nothing stronger than the will of the oppressed. I fall back with my lyrics and rhymes, living the times, trying to break the Palestinian mind. What's hiding in the clouds hanging over my head? My dad risks his life outside to buy bread. The fourth floor in my 12th year at this stage, I'm numb, though I have a feel scared. There's nothing I can do in this case to stay safe. I'm brave, even though this house could be in my grave. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location, shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location, shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. Mothers mourn, fighting with grief. White sheets cover bodies that lie on the street. Buildings turn to ash, but my mind is made of steel. So it doesn't take much for me to heal. Or lose the will to live, or lose the mind. My auntie lost her home, so she lost her life. But she's still alive, but traumatized by the bombs that flew in and dropped at night. My sister couldn't sleep, tried to stop her cries. I said it was fireworks that was telling her lies. Where's the compassion? This is heartless. It's like they want us all living in darkness. Cutting off water and electricity for hours. They're knocking towers, but that's not knocking the power that I have in my pen. When I'm writing, I'm unstoppable. The microphone is the only escape possible. Cause that's the way that I can speak my mind. I wonder how does the fighter pilot sleep at night? Knowing he can turn the city upside down all of a sudden. Slaughtering families with the push of a button. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location, shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location, shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. Death life under an occupation.
Dreaming, reunite together, save the world.
did his home and crushed and killed his baba. We should be playing soccer or meeting up by lockers. He wanted to be a doctor, but he don't have those options. Comprehensive and for sweeter victims, we deserve a voice in day-to-day decisions, and we can dig these generations out of these great conditions.
Yes, sir. All praises are due to Allah. Now we will have our brother, our sister, who will give us the fast fact, Sister Majida Muhammad. Sister Majida.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. The fast fact for today is self-love is very important. Allah loves us even if we don't love ourselves. This Ramadan, establish self-love in your life. We want to do our very best to gain all the blessings that come with the holy month. As we fast and discipline our urges, please include self-care in what you do. This may mean taking concerted efforts to be extra kind to yourself. The following are a few examples of what you can do this month. Number one, power hour. At some point during your day, give yourself an hour of power. Contemplate on what you're grateful for. Visualize what you want to accomplish. Meditate like Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, did in the cave. Write your thoughts down in a journal. Do some breathing exercises to clear your mind. This can be one of the kindest things you can do for yourself. Number two, sleep is powerful. With Sahur and Iftar being so far apart, and then when we do Tarawih prayers, our bodies may require more sleep. Find time, if you can, to take a power nap during the day. Our bodies need rest to feel rejuvenated and energized to do all of the worship we're doing during Ramadan. So sleep is productive as well. Number three, positive affirmations. Listen to other Islamic podcasts that inspire you. Listen to things that affirm who you are and who you want to be. Consider saying positive affirmations like, I am the beloved of Allah. Set a positive tone for the day. This is one of my favorite things to do. Number four. Do your best. The only one you are in competition with is yourself. Reflect and make sure that social media is not affecting you negatively. Use social media to reflect what inspires you and elevates your mood positively. Number five, do something you love. It is the month of Ramadan, and while we focus on spiritual development, do other things that you love to do that bring you closer to Allah. He loves beauty, and the weather changes, and as the weather changes, enjoy Allah's creation. Watch a sunset to know when to break fast. Visit a garden, plant flowers or vegetables, read a good book, find time to relax and enjoy yourself. Number six, practice compassion. Start with self. Be the best you can during this month. Ask Allah for the peace of mind to accept the things you cannot change. Have courage to change the things you can and the wisdom to know the difference. Know that you are in a loving embrace of the most merciful, that wants the best for you. Ignore your inner critic. Be kinder and more compassionate towards yourself. These are just a few things we can do to show ourselves more love during this month of Ramadan and any time during the year. Think of others that you can share with family and friends. Remember, our fast fact for the day is self-love is very important. And Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Majida. Thank you for the fast fact of the day. All praises are due to Allah. Our reading for the fifth day of Ramadan. We're on day 5, and our reading starts with chapter 4, verse 24, through chapter 4, verse 147. Surah 4, ayat 24, through Surah 4, ayat 147. Now we will ask our brother if he would bless us by closing our program with prayer. Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad, Brother Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Dear believers, Al-Fatiha. قل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. O Allah, guide me with those whom you have guided, and strengthen me with those whom you have strengthened. Take me to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Bless me in what you have given me. Protect me from the evil you have ordained. Surely you command and are not commanded, and none whom you have committed to your care shall be humiliated. And none whom you have taken as an enemy shall taste glory. You are blessed, our Lord, and exalted. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for your prayers with us this morning. Brothers and sisters, as we close, on behalf of our guest speaker, Sister Rihanna Blackman, we thank Allah for her powerful words with us this morning and her family, and may Allah continue to bless our dear sister. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank you, dear Minister, for everything that you do and are doing to spread this mighty, mighty word of Islam. Thank you, dear Minister. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank each and every one of you for aiding and assisting and helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spread this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of the ministers and imams throughout this country who are spreading this word, teach hard, brothers and sisters, teach hard. On behalf of my co-hosts, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisan, Brother Jamil, Brother Shaheed, Sister Majida, and each and every one of you, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah, Allah is great, all power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'ali. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.